You know, it's always been my dream to take a sip from this cup of water, because whenever I see speakers drink from it, it seems like it's the best water ever. So this is a dream come true right here. That's really good. Okay, good morning, Fairhaven. Today, I would like to share my testimony with you all. I've told some of you my testimony, but I believe this will be a good opportunity to share it with the entire assembly, a chance for y'all to get to know me better, and my hope is that it will be an encouragement to you. Something I've learned from my dad, James Yee, is that there are different ways to share your testimony, to serve differing purposes, and to reach different people. From a 30-second, this is who I was before Jesus, and this is who I am now, to a 30-minute, complete memoir of your life story, there are many different ways a person can share their testimony. Luckily, I will have longer than 30 seconds, and hopefully I'll be taking less than 30 minutes. I can see some people looking worried. Don't worry. Today, I have 10 minutes, well, now 9 minutes, and I want to use that time to share with you the experiences of a missionary and multiple generation elder's kid. My goal with that is to share that. And a second goal is to encourage you that sometimes God-driven change takes time. Sometimes God-driven change takes time. You know, we can send up a prayer sometimes, like a professional email, that we expect to be answered within 3 to 5 business days. I know I have. But I've seen that sometimes the Lord takes time to answer prayer. I know that every person in this room is going through something right now, some struggle, trial, or fight against temptation. I know that it can feel lonely, and it can be hard. It can feel like the Lord is not listening. I want to encourage you that he is. See, I grew up in a Christian home. As many of you well know, my family moved to Asia when I was about 1.5 to do missionary work over there. Missionary work is hard, and it is difficult on a family. My dad gave up a very nice career as a bank branch manager to go to Asia. I didn't realize it when I was younger, but he was juggling trying to support a family in a country that was not his own, trying to learn a new language and a new culture while attempting to tell people about Jesus in a place where it was not only illegal, but completely foreign to the people. And during all of this, he was raising 1, 2, and then 3 children while also getting involved in the international church as an elder for a time, and eventually starting multiple house churches made up of local citizens. That took decades to bear fruit. Decades of going out every day, praying for people of peace to share with. My mom started out as a young stay-at-home mom, trying to raise children in a place where there was no structure to support her. There were no groups, there was no family, no friends at first to help her be a mom for the first time. Eventually, when we moved to a new city, she started working full-time to support our family financially, while raising 3 children and organizing and maintaining a children's ministry at the International Church, while also starting a women's ministry. Same story, years and years of hard work and faithful prayer waiting for fruit. See, I grew up in a Christian home, but I was ungrateful. I grew up seeing my parents at their worst, when they were at their most tired, when they were at their most strained, after they'd spent the day pouring out on others. I remember many evenings when my mom would come home from work late because she stayed to work overtime and just collapse into bed. I remember many nights I never saw my father until the morning because he was meeting with so many people and involved in so many ministries. See, growing up, I thought my parents were too strict, too easily angered by me and my siblings fighting. So I became used to keeping to myself and not trusting anyone. I got really good at putting on the missionary elder's kid facade on Sundays and when we had people over for dinner. Sure, I learned about the Bible, but when I was angry with my parents and they were angry with me, I didn't want anything to do with God. I didn't want another person in my life telling me what to do and what not to do. I had a shallow relationship with my parents, and there was probably a time in my life where they knew little to nothing about me because I shared nothing with them. I fought with my siblings incessantly. When I entered middle school, I got into porn at 11 years old. I developed a quick temper, a sharp tongue, and a quick wit to protect myself from being teased at school. When I found out that insulting someone twice as much as they insult you doesn't work out very well, I developed a sense of humor to keep from getting hurt, because if you laugh at everything and make it a joke, then no one can tell what really hurts you. I became a porcupine in all senses of the word, keeping my secrets, sins, and feelings to myself and sticking anyone who got too close. And this continued throughout all of middle school until I got baptized at the end of eighth grade. Someone had asked me the question that if you spent 5 minutes in heaven and came back to earth, how would your life change? I realized that I already believed everything about heaven. If I was to come back, the first thing I would do would be to tell everyone about it. This made me realize that some major changes needed to happen in my life. Because ultimately, if I already believed these things, then why wasn't I doing it? So I got baptized. I confessed with my mouth that Jesus was Lord and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. But I decided I wouldn't tell anyone about my porn addiction. Instead, I would get cleaned up first and then tell my parents about it. Suffice to say, that dumb strategy did not work. And eventually, I just gave up fighting against porn. However, on the flip side, God slowly built up my empathy. I fought less with my siblings. He dulled my tongue, just slightly, and helped me calm my temper. But there was one last barrier I just couldn't let go of. Over multiple years in high school, I tried again and again to quit porn. But each and every time, every strategy failed. Eventually, I came to realize that if anything was going to change, I had to give it to the Lord completely and tell my parents. That was a fun conversation. No, it wasn't. But it did finally open up my relationship with God completely. Some people have a miraculous moment when they for sure know when they became God's, and they never went back to their old ways again. I've not had that experience. Due to the fact that I'm quite stubborn and just intelligent enough to be arrogant, my relationship with the Lord has been a slow slog, trying to die to myself in order to follow Christ. But the changes have been extraordinary. My parents are now two of the people I trust most in this world, and the amount of love and respect I have for them is something the old Jaden could never have imagined. My relationship with my siblings is something rare and beautiful. The Lord has really given me something precious in them. Sometimes when we would be walking down the street hand in hand, or when people at school would overhear us talking, we'd get strange looks, because the way we behave now is so much different than the normal interaction between siblings. It's a complete 180 from how we used to be. The Lord has slowly broken my addiction to porn. But overall, one of the biggest changes I've seen is a change in priorities. And the biggest evidence for that is the work that the Lord has allowed me to do in LAM. Over the past year, I've spent a lot of time invested in LAM as I've been trying to put the Lord first. That has resulted in a lot of time speaking with people about Jesus, teaching and mentoring. And it's something that I really look forward to. And as Robbie mentioned, I'll be taking on a bigger role this year. The old Jaden could never have done that. He wouldn't have enjoyed it. He might have gone to LAM, but he wouldn't have liked it. But now it's something that is exciting for me. And actually, as I was going into the semester, it was the thing I was most excited for, getting to see how God will be working in the college ministry over this coming year. It's going to be incredible. Along with that, in parallel, has been the growth in my personal relationship with God. Over the past couple years, I've been getting to know him better, learning what loving him actually looks like, and wandering in his creation. When you look at the world, it is so beautiful. You look at nature, National Geographic documentaries, and the incredible things that mankind has been able to build, and it is absolutely stunning. But it is broken. Imagine what the world will look like when it's whole. That's what I'm longing for. When Jesus comes back and redeems this world, it's gonna be unimaginable. But this has been the culmination of years of the Lord working in my life. And the main thing I hope that can be an encouragement to you all is that God can sometimes take time. It took time for my dad to see fruit in his ministry. It took time for my mom to see fruits in her ministries. And it took time for the Lord to break down the barriers I put up and grow fruit in my life. So maybe you're going through a stage in your relationship with God where you don't just see the fruit yet. Maybe you're going through a hard situation and you don't know how you're going to get through it. Why doesn't God help me out of these circumstances? Maybe you feel stagnant, like you just can't hear what God is saying. You can't figure out what his direction for your life is, or you just feel so far away. This is not the time to stop praying, to stop seeking the Lord, or to stop remaining faithful to him. It's the time to do it even more. Don't do it for a day and then just give up. Sometimes God-driven change takes time. Now Mike Osmus will bring us a message from God's word.